Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, let's go to the Word of God today in Hebrews, the first chapter. And once again, we're going into verse number 3. We've been there for a couple of months now. We've only gotten to verse number 3. For those of you that are new, we go line upon line and precept upon precept in the Word of God. Stop and think about it. God wrote it that way. You ought to be able to understand it that way. You ought to be able to hear it that way. You get the full plate of what God is offering to you. You know, it's so good to be able to come into the house of the Lord and learn not only, not only about who Jesus is and what He's done, which is so magnificent, never want to diminish that, but also what Jesus wants and expects for us. And as these epistles are written to the churches, preserved for thousands of years, so that you and I could look into the very heartbeat of God and see what God expects from our life and what God wants. There's a destiny, there's a purpose, there's a reason why you're on the planet. I don't know if you know that. That this is something you need to understand, that God saw you before the foundation of the world. He's not surprised at your appearance on this planet. I don't care if two drunken people got together in a one-night stand in a bar and you were on this planet. I want you to know that God saw you before the foundation of the world. You got a new family, a new DNA if you're born of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And there is something, are you listening? There is something, are you hearing? There is something that God has for you to do. Your time on the planet is not just to sit and stare, but your time on the planet is to be used by God. And as we look at the Word of the Lord, we're talking about Jesus. We're seeing how great He is. The whole entire text of Hebrews is all about the greatness. The preeminence is a word that you don't often use, but it means the God that is before and better and bigger than anybody else. Here's Jesus now, wonderfully is. But what does that mean to you, so that you can take this great, wonderful, magnificent God who went to the cross and died for you home with you in such a way that you know what life is all about. So instead of just reading the scriptures, let's understand what they say. It's good meal. It's a good food. You just don't want to just devour it fast. You want to take your time and enjoy every bit of your journey in the wonderful text of Hebrews. Hebrews, and I'll give you the title of this message in a moment, but here's Hebrews. Let me read you out of the first chapter, verse number 3, who being in the brightness of His glory. Oh my goodness, wasn't that a phenomenal message? If you didn't hear it, man, get it. Listen to it over and over again and understand what part you play. And then it goes on to say, and the expressed image of His person, talking about Jesus, talking about who He is. And then we found out how we relate. As Jesus is the expressed image of the Father, we are being conformed in the image of the Son, Jesus. How cool was that? And see what we are to do and how it's to be. And then He goes on and says, and upholding all things by the word of His power, that when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Here are the verses, and here's what I want to share with you. As we look at the Word of God and upholding all things, just stop with me for a moment. Let's just look at the verse for a moment. There is something being said here that is so dynamic that you can't miss this. You could if you wanted to. You could if you were lazy in your thinking and you didn't have a heart for the things of God. You can't see, then of course you could miss it. But it's pretty hard to miss this. Let me explain what's taking place. You see the words upholding all things? That means God not only created it, but He holds it together. You know, you can make something. Maybe you put something together one time in your life. Maybe you had instructions on how to put a gimmick or a product together. You put it together when you didn't do it right, or you may have done it in such a way that it fell apart right afterwards. Nothing is any good unless it lasts. And I want you to know that God not only makes and upholds all things, but He keeps it all together. In other words, what God is saying, and I've said this a thousand times, I'm going to say it a thousand more times, so I want you to hear me. This is so important. God, who created the heavens and the earth, holds it all together by his power that supports the word of the Lord. And that's what's being said. As the sun is in its place, any closer would burn us up. Any further, you would find yourself freezing to death. As the moon is its right axis, so it keeps the water from oceans from flooding the land, as its right place, you'll find there's an atmosphere around the planet that you breathe, he holds. It doesn't wander off. It doesn't just go up into the, you know, the eons of space. It's held around the planet. Do you know that every breath you take, stop and think about this for a moment, the very heartbeat you just had inside of your chest that you didn't even notice just now was because God Almighty holds it all together. You've got to get a picture of this. He holds the sun, he holds the stars, he holds the planets, he holds the atmosphere, he holds us on this place, he holds it all together, or it would all fly apart and wander into outer space and be an absolute mess. But by his power, the power of the living God, he holds it all together. You can't take a breath without him. You do not have a heartbeat without him. Your feet can't touch the ground without him. You cannot stay where you're at, hold your mind together, or think. And here we are, a people that come along and we question God all the time. How sad is that? And how long-suffering is God with us that we could question him who holds it all together by the power of his word, and he holds it together so that we can breathe, so we can see, so we can think, so our hearts can keep on beating, so we can live out life on this planet, being a witness to a lost and dying world. God holds it all together. You and I need to realize we're not here to question God. We're here to be in an amazed place. He is an amazing God who has done great and still is every day an amazing job. But I love what it says. He upholds all things by something, by the word of his power. In other words, it's the word of God that comes, and the power supports the word. You found in John that the word become flesh. In John 1:14, the word of God, the very verbalization, the very will of the Father God itself becomes the flesh that walks upon this planet. I don't know how that works. It just works, and it's what it says. But the very inspiration of God, the very word of God that you have that became flesh is now found in his word, the B-I-B-L-E. It is still just paper. It is still just ink. But when you get his word, his passion, his will, his idea on the inside of you, listen to this, and you appropriate it, that means put it to work by faith, it changes the whole world that you live in. It's faith that is the accelerator of the power of God that gets the job done on your behalf, that changes your world. In fact, in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we'll eventually get there, I don't know how many years from now, but I promise you we'll be there. Hopefully I'm still alive. And I want you to know, but in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the children of Israel could not go in to the promised land because they heard the word that was preached to them, but they did not mix it with faith. Therefore, they found themselves never being at peace and rest, never being in the promised land. So you and I have got to understand this is the very inspiration of God. This is the very heartbeat. This is the very passion. As it became flesh as an example for us, it is now before us so that we can look at it and find out. Take those verses, take that heartbeat of God, put it inside of your heart, appropriate it, put it to work by faith, and watch it change the world, because it's the word of God that has the power of God behind it that changes the world that we live in. If you don't understand that, oh, you got to hear this. If you don't understand that, nothing works. You will be like most people that attend churches and you'll be frustrated. You'll say, why doesn't the things work for me? Why don't I get answers for my prayers? Why am I not blessed like they're blessed? How come I don't have favor like they have favor? How come when something good happens, it happens to them, but it doesn't happen to me? And let me tell you something. The power of God doesn't go and to work on your assumptions of what God thinks and says. The power of God doesn't go to work on what you think God is saying. It goes to work on what God says. He doesn't reward us. He doesn't put his power behind us because we think this is what he wants. He doesn't give us his power because he is rewarding us for our good intentions. He's given you the word. The word is the inspired word of God. God, watch this, backs his word with his power to see it come to pass. But it won't come to pass until you put it in your heart and then you apply it with faith. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because without an understanding of this doesn't work. In fact, that's why we call this message today, Living in His Power. If you're not living in His power, then what are you living in? Who are you living life by? What rules and regulations do you govern your decision-making process from? Who is it that's speaking into your life that's changing your existence? Who is it that you govern your ideologies and philosophies by if it's not Jesus Christ, which is truth, His word? And if you find that it's His word and He says it, even though we don't feel it, even though we don't understand it at times, but we by faith operate in it, then we, like the children of Israel, will enter into the promised land and enter into the rest that God has for us. But if you don't put it in your heart, if you don't understand it, and if you just let it be out there, but you don't put it to work in your life, you will never change the life that God has for you and never fulfill, never be what God's called you to fulfill and God's called you to be. Saints, this is so important that you and I live by His power, and His power is appropriated by His word that's put in our heart, and we operate on it by faith that ignites it to get the job done. In fact, let me take you to Jeremiah. In the first chapter of Jeremiah, you know, might want to write this down as a reference for yourself and check it out in your Bible. Jeremiah, the first chapter. In verse number 12, you will find that God is speaking to Jeremiah the prophet. And as God speaks to Jeremiah, he asks Jeremiah this question, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah answers it. And then God says, you have seen correctly. Oftentimes, God will say to you and I, what do you see in life? How do you govern your life by? What do you see to be truth and not truth? What do you see to be the power of God? You better be ready to answer the right way. He says, and Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. In other words, God says, I am standing by, watching over my word. And when you operate in my word, I am ready to perform my word. I am ready. I am able. I just need you to get involved with it, and I will do what needs to get done. I'm watching to see if you're going to operate in and by the Word of God. Or do you operate by your emotions? Or do you operate by what you see or touch or taste or smell? Or do you operate by what the majority of people decide is right and wrong for this planet? Do you operate by according to politicians? Or do you operate according to the economics that's in your pocket? Or do you operate your life by the Word of God? Because God's watching to see whether or not you're in the Word, believing Him for it, and He's ready to perform it on your behalf and change the world that you live in. Now, no one else can tell you that. There's no baseball game. There's no football game. There's no economy. There's no presidency. The Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, none of them can promise you change like we're talking about. They can talk about change all they want, but the real change comes when you put the Word of God inside of your heart, and God's power backs the Word that changes the world that you live in, because God is watching over His Word to perform it. Somebody, give me a great big amen. You know it's true. So today, we're going to look at some things that are important for all of us. How the power of His Word will uphold you. If it's going to hold me in place, I need to know how it's going to uphold me. What is it that I can expect from the Word of God day in, day out, with my family, with my marriage, with my children, with my job, with my boss, with my income, in a society, in a social system that seems to be failing? What is it that I can do? I need to know how the power of God, His Word, will uphold me in times that are like this. Let's take a look at it together. Number one, it'll uphold you that has the power to save. You have to understand there's no other force on the planet that can get you saved. You were lost, you were dying, you were headed for hell, and you didn't even know it. You didn't even care. You thought you were going to go party in hell. I want you to know something. There's not a party in hell. According to my Bible, there's torment that's eternal. You're not going to like it at all. There's not a bunch of naked women drinking beer, watching football. You got a wrong kind of an idea what hell is like. I want you to know something. When you get there, you aren't getting out. It is forever, and it's not made for you, and you don't have to get there. The problem with it is you cannot get yourself out. Only Jesus on the cross can pay for the price for you to get out of there. He can save you and set you free. Man, that's good news. And I tell you what, sometimes people ought to walk around and tell their face that they're saved. A lot of times we look at Christians, they look so down, depressed, discouraged, frustrated, look like they've been sucking on sour lemons. You wonder whether they're saved or not saved. My goodness, I tell you what, you ought to be the happiest people on the planet. You were headed for hell, but now you're headed for heaven. If you're born of the Spirit, if you're not born of the Spirit of God, we'll take care of that before this day is over with. So just hang on. But I want you to know something. We ought to tell our face that we are saved. We're no longer losers, but we're winners. We're no longer in a family of the earth. We're now belonging to a new family, got a new DNA. Thank God we're called the children of God. Thank God we're called more than conquerors. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We can be happy about today, tomorrow, and forever because we know we're saved. We are blood washed. We are Bible bought. My goodness sakes alive. We're headed for heaven, and we're not going to go to hell. We are to be the happiest people on the planet. Let the rest of the world enter into recession. But my God and your God's not taking Prozac because the United States is in recession. Let's not get involved. My God says He'll meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory because we are a saved people. My, telling you this is so exciting when the Word of God gets you to a place where you realize if you never had any other miracle in your life but the miracle of salvation. Someone said to me one time as a Christian, I just need to see miracles. I said, you ought to look in the mirror. You're a miracle. If you're saved, you're a miracle. And you're the greatest miracle there's ever been. And they looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, I can tell you are a bum, loser, you are a failure, you are a funky person doing kinky stuff. You just look like Mr. Kink. And I want you to know something. God has gotten you saved. You ought to be happy about that. That's a miracle. So let your face know that you're in the middle of a miracle. And start to smile a little bit and tell the world. They'll say, why are you smiling? I'm saved. I'm washed by the blood. I'm going to heaven. I'm a living testimony of the goodness of God and the power of God that holds it all together. And He held me together long enough so that I could get saved. And that's why I'm smiling. I love what it says in Romans, the first chapter, verse number 16. You ought to turn in your Bible. It says, for I am not ashamed. I love these words. You and I not to be ashamed. Some of you don't carry a Bible because you're ashamed. You're afraid of somebody seeing you. You ought to carry your Bible in the restaurant. You ought to carry your Bible when you go to the gas station. There's nothing wrong sitting there staring at a gas pump. Take your Bible out once in a while. Start reading it. Maybe the numbers will change. I don't know. I'm not saying that. That would be cultish for me to say. I am not saying that. But you know what? It might be a witness to everybody else around us if we started doing that. There's all kinds of times we need to not be ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it's the power of God. What for? To salvation for everyone that believes. My goodness, it's the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the word of God that's backed by the power of God. That's what he says in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 3. And we're talking about this wonderful subject on how the power of his word will uphold you and I. Number 2 is a power to purify. Number 1's a power to save. Number 2, he didn't leave us just saved. He wants to clean up our act. You know what I'm talking about? When you got saved, you were a dirt ball, so was I. But every year I'm saved, guess what? I get to be a stronger, healthier Christian. I'm a better Christian today than I was last year. I'm a better Christian last year than I was the year before. Every time I think I'm cool and got it all together, God shows me all kinds of areas in my life that I need to clean up. But God, I feel real righteous today. I feel real good. I feel real holy. And then somewhere there's a voice that comes in my heart and says, you remember when you did this and you did that? And I said, yes, Lord. He says, now you need to clean that up. You remember when you were abrasive here and you said that and you were cutting about that or mistreated this person or that person? Then you need to clean it up. God's always in the cleaning process. He cleans us up. Thank God he cleans us up. Thank God he doesn't just get us saved, takes us to heaven as dirtball acting people. But thank God he cleans us up, he purifies us. And he does it with a word called sanctification. The word sanctification means that you've been set apart. You belong to Jesus. Oh yes, you're in this world, but you're not of it. Let me say it again. You're in this world, but you're not of it. One more time. You're in this world, but you're not of it. What do I mean by that? Listen closely. Listen, the world can go one way. The people can go another way. The church can go another way. Doesn't matter. I'm going the way of Jesus. I'm in this world, but I belong to Jesus. Is anybody listening? I don't have to do the trends. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to try to, you know, have a role for myself. I can, guess what? I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. Therefore, I can rest. I can be in peace. I can be in joy. I don't have to accomplish anything. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. Guess what, guys? That's the way we are. I love what the Word of God says about cleaning us up, sanctifying who we are. If you'll listen in John, the 17th chapter, go there with me. If you go to John, the 17th chapter, let's take a look, if you will, in John, the 17th chapter, in verse number 17. In verse number 17, it says these words, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So here comes God saying, the word of God will cleanse you, purify you. The word of God will set you apart from the garbage that's out there, the perversion, the disgust of this world. It'll clean up your act and my act. Isn't that good news? I like the responsibility that God gives us. You know, oftentimes we say to God, God, I want you to clean this up in my life. I want you to take this away. God, I want you to do this. And God, I'm praying that you do that. And that's fine. But did you know there's a responsibility that you have and that I have? A responsibility is like this. The Bible says in 1 John 5th chapter, verse number 18, it says, he that's born of God will not sin. The real translation on that doesn't practice sin. You can't keep doing it over and over again. But he has been born of God, keeps himself. I love those words. Keeps himself. See, keeps himself. And the wicked one touches him not. I don't want the wicked one touching me, do you? I don't want him in my home. I don't want him in my family. I don't want him with my children or grandchildren. I don't want him in my business. I don't want the wicked one touching me at all. How do I keep away from that? I've got to keep myself. There's a time when you'll make a choice. Will I go with the crowd or will I go with Jesus? Will I go with those people that I know are going to have a great time today? But will I go with Jesus? May not have a great time, but I'll have a great God in my life. It's your call. It's your choice. You got to keep yourself and the wicked one. Instead of us waiting for God to wave a magic wand over us, and all of our lifestyle and all of our problems are going to go away, it doesn't work that way. God puts a responsibility on you, puts a responsibility on me, that by His Word, the power to perform His Word is behind us. And we take the Word, and the Word of God comes along and purifies us as we believe the Word of God and put it to work in our life. So guys, there's a responsibility that you keep yourself in the things of God instead of the things of the world, and the wicked one will touch you not. Somebody ought to say amen to that. That's a good thing to say. Also, when we look at the word of the Lord and how the power of His word will uphold you, here's number three. It'll stabilize you. The power of His word, when you use it in faith, you got it hidden in your heart and you're believing Him, and God is waiting to back it up with His power as you demonstrate the word of God. It'll stabilize you. Did you know you can hardly get anything done when you're not stable? First thing God wants to do is get you saved. Second thing, He's going to clean you up, and then He's going to stabilize you. Because when you're stable, you know what to do, where to go, and how to do. But if you're rocking and rolling all the time and you're really not together and you really don't have a good balance, you really can't do much at all. Deborah and I went on vacation. We took at that time our boat. We've sold it since then, and we went sailing for a couple of weeks up the coast. Kind of fun having Debbie alone in the boat. But I found something happened. I found that I never experienced 24 hours a day of moving. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. Man, I'm telling you, one night we slept, we were parked in a cove and anchored, and these waves were coming at our broadside, on our port side, just hitting us, bang, alongside of us, and the wind was right behind the waves, and the boat would go like this. And I was trying to sleep on the bunk, and I'm sleeping, and I would roll from the port side to the starboard side. Then I'd crawl back to the port side, and it'd roll me back to the starboard side. Then I slept 5 minutes that night. That morning I got up, and I had that, you ever have that no sleep metallic feeling? I looked at Deborah. I said, Deborah, this is not a vacation. I'm selling this boat. Went back in 24 hours, sold that boat. I want you to know, man, but after we got off the boat, we were still on solid ground, but we were still going like that. Debbie says, 2 days later, are you still rocking? I said, I'm rolling, girl. I'm all over the place. And what happens, until you get stabilized, you really can't do anything because you're working on getting stable. When Debbie and I first got married, everything we had was working to try to get our lives stable. We had financial problems. We had kid problems. We had business problems. We were unstable. And we were trying to get stable. And some of you are trying to get stable so that you can go on in life. And I'm here to tell you something. It takes a while for that old instability to get out of your life so you can get stable. So if you're still rocking and rolling, hold on to Jesus and the power of His word, and it'll stabilize your life so you can go to the level and the place where you want to go. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus says it like this. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who builds his house on the rock. the rock meaning Jesus, but 25 comes along, and listen to this, this is more appropriate. And the rains descended, you'll never get away from the storms of life, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, that rock meaning Jesus. When you build your life on the stability of God's word, backed by God himself and his power, because he's looking to perform what you're believing him for, ooh, life becomes stable. So God wants to get you saved. God wants to clean you up. He wants to stabilize your life so you can go forward in the things of God, which brings us, if you will, to this next point. We're taking a look on how the word of power will uphold you. It is the word that will defend you, the power to defend. In other words, if I'm going to get stable, I'm going to have to use the word of God to defend myself and be offensive. What do I mean by that? You're going to be in a place where your boat's going to rock. The storms of life are going to come. The problems are going to come at you. How you deal with those problems is how you're going to defend your future. And how you assault the problems back in an offensive manner is going to be how your future is going to come. And the word of God, when it's housed and taken residence in your heart. Now listen to this. When it's in your heart and by faith you're expressing believing God. He's gotten you saved. He's cleaning you up. He's stabilized your life. And now the problems start to come. You need a defensive weapon and you need an offensive weapon. And the offensive and defensive weapon is found in the word of God. It's not found in you cursing. It's not found in you yelling. It's not found in us frustrated, crying, bawling, squalling before God. That's not going to get the job done. You're going to have to take the word of God as an offensive and defensive weapon and use it. You're going to speak to the problem. God, I'm healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. More than a conqueror, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'll not fail because I'm an overcomer. I'm not going to fall. I'm going through the valley of shadow of death. I am not camping in it, but there's another side. I've got my eyes fixed on it, and I'm getting through the other side. My God will meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And when that becomes part of your life, whatever situation there is inside of you, you becomes part of your life, and you hold on to it by faith. My goodness sakes, it takes you somewhere. Now you defeat the enemy that comes at you, and you also destroy him as he takes place in your life, and you don't let him have a foothold in your life. Somebody ought to say amen. That's why in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, just pop it up on the overhead. It says these words, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is that? Which is the word of God. What do you do when problems come your way? Do you just sit and wait for them to go away? You just sit around and do nothing about it. You know, I tell you what, Deborah and I found in marriage, you can fight, you can argue, you can complain. Deborah's tough. She's a tough little thing, man. She's tough. But I'm tough. And two tough people get together, got their own ideas about stuff. You know what we have to do? We got to get the word of God, and we got to get to the Spirit. I'm telling you, the devil wants to break your family up, wants to break your home up, your children. You got to use the word of God as an offensive and defensive weapon. Is anybody listening today? And the last point for today on how the word of his power will uphold you. Here's number 5. Power that brings hope. Thank God for hope. Maybe you don't understand that hope is the blueprint of your future. Whenever a building is built, like this one that you're in right now, there was a blueprint that the contractors had to follow. If they didn't follow it, it would have been a mess. Everything has a blueprint. Even in the ancient days when they built the building, there was a blueprint. There's a certain size cornerstone that they used as a blueprint on how to build. Guys, let me tell you something. Hope is a blueprint of your future. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse number 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I have got to have faith in those things that I don't see. But I have faith because hope is the substance of my faith. My hope paints the blueprint. My faith goes to work on the painting. And then all of a sudden, my faith goes to work on the blueprint. It produces a product that I'm believing God for. Today, you're faced with things, and you've got to have hope. Hope is not based, isn't it good, on what you look like? It isn't based on whether you're skinny or fat. Isn't based on whether you're pretty or ugly. And based on whether you got clear skin or not clear skin, or look like a model or don't look like a model. Hope is not based on whether you're talented or gifted, smart or money, have money or don't have money, have an education or don't have an education. Hope's not built on any of that. Real hope's built on who God is and the word of His promise, and His promise have a hold of you. And by faith, you're taking those promises and putting them in your heart, and you're listening to the word of God, and God is watching over His word to perform it on your behalf. And guess what? That builds hope. So you can be the dumbest, ugliest person on the planet, but the Bible says you better watch yourself, because you're made in the image of God. And every time you complain about yourself, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you know what I'm talking about. And you say, nobody could love me. The most important man ever walked this planet, went to the cross and saw you as beautiful. And you can say to yourself, I'm so ugly. I'm so ugly. I'm so ugly. And then you get to heaven and found out you're made in the image of God and He looks like you. You've got problems. You've been calling Him ugly all these years. You better just shut up and enjoy the fact that none of this is based on anything you have. It's all based on who Jesus is and the power of God behind His word. I love what it says in Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse number 4. Just pop it up real quick and we'll quit with this verse. It says, for whatever things were written, anything that's ever been written, Old Testament and the Gospels, whatever was written, the Word of God you have on your lap, watch this, it was written before were written for our learning. God wants you to learn something for a reason. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Powerful verse. So all of a sudden today, here's what you learned. If you go back to Hebrews in the first chapter, Hebrews in the first chapter, let's take a look at it together. It says these words, and upholding all things by His word of His power. The word backed by God's power to save. Number 2, to purify. Number 3, will stabilize your life. Number 4, will defend you when you're under attack. Number 5, will paint that picture of a blueprint for your future. And that, my friends, is the good news that God had to say to you today. If God spoke to you today, give Him a great big praise. We do that. Isn't God good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.